Good morning. Welcome to you to the Lord's house this morning. If you haven't already done so, we'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors down the row. If this is your first time visiting Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you drop by and let us know this is your first time here, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Please do join us for the August fellowship lunch right after this service, about noon down in the fellowship hall. It's a spaghetti dinner hosted by the outreach committee, and donations are being received to help provide food for school children through the weekend food bags program provided by the outreach committee. And then right after the lunch, elders, deacons, and committee chairpersons, please be reminded of the August board meeting, which will be held in the upper room right after that lunch. Please also read through the bulletin announcement page to learn more about the shepherding teams, the craft supply donations, as well as the upcoming Disciple Women's Fall Retreat. And Bob has a minute for mission to share.
Good morning. You helped us fill out 34 full backpacks, and 12 of our own children got to pick out those bags, and you should have seen their eyes when they picked them out. The weekend food bags was formerly called pantry packs. We changed the name because of the confusion with the school backpacks. Children receiving free or reduced priced meals through the National School Lunch and Breakfast Program. For many of these children, school meals may be the only meals they eat. What happens to them when they go home for the weekend? Through our outreach committee, we provide 10 children from North Kansas City early childhood school with weekend food bags with enough nourishment and easy to prepare food to get them through the weekend. Today, we will be hosting a spaghetti dinner with meatballs, meat sauce, garlic bread, salad, cake, brownies, and ice cream. All money raised will go to help buy food for the weekend food bags. Please plan to stay and support this ministry that provides food for school children in need throughout the year. Thank you, and God bless.
Please rise for the call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim his greatness. How wonderful are the things the Lord does. Be glad that we belong to him. Let all who worship him rejoice. Let us sing hymn number 86, all stanzas.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature the manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
May we bow in a word of prayer. As we come into Your house this morning, O Lord, may we be mindful of our abundant blessings. We are blessed with this beautiful place of worship and with a warm and welcoming church family. We're also blessed with a skilled musical worship team and with a pastor who shares messages energetically and with deep biblical roots. And let us not forget the reason for our existence as a Christian church, the love and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing stanza one of page 190.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? See, I already know I already spent half the morning with them anyway, but that's okay. What have I got here? A necklace. What's on my wrist? Okay. Do you know every single bead on this necklace is a seed? This necklace is made entirely of seeds. This bracelet that says blessings on it is made from mud. That is mud. Pretty cool mud, isn't it? Yeah, I know. Who knew mud could be so awesome, right? It's fun between your toes, but hey. Yeah. Well, these are just a couple of examples of people who take things that we think are just not worth too much, and they make something beautiful out of them. And I got to thinking about that, and it reminded me of God. How God can make something beautiful from everyone. Everyone God makes beautiful. And everything God makes beautiful. There's a passage in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes, I believe. No corrections if I'm wrong, please. That says God makes all things beautiful in his time. God looks at every one of you and says, I'm going to do beautiful things with you. You just have to believe and listen and obey. Sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Yeah. And sometimes we get really, 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 really impatient waiting for things to happen, don't we? We want things to happen, like, right now. Like, who wants to wait for the cookies to cool when they come out of the oven? I want to eat them right now. Uh-huh. Yeah. Who wants to wait for after dinner for dessert? I want dessert, like, right now. Mm-hmm. And we get really impatient. We get impatient for our birthdays. We get impatient for Christmas. We get impatient, impatient, impatient. And we get impatient sometimes when we say prayers to God. Because we don't think he's listening. He always listens, and he always works, but in his own time, not ours. We have to remember, God loves us all, and he cares about what happens to us. Can we have a little prayer, please? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for making this entire beautiful world that you give us. Help us to appreciate even the smallest things, and help us to be patient and to allow your grace and your mercy to come through our lives in your time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kathy. And good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be back with you all today. In our prayers and praises today, we have a word of praise to lift up that David Equit Jr., who we know as a DJ, and Skyler gave birth to Kasten Kelly Equit, looks like yesterday, the 3rd of August.
7 pounds, 8 ounces, 21 inches. And of course, David and Rob and Ikrit are grandparents. So many congratulations to the Ikrit family. Also, we want to lift up Jim O'Brien. He is the brother of Teresa Wolf. Jim is presently in hospice care in Savannah, Missouri, after dealing with a quite extensive illness over a period of time. So please remember Teresa and Jim and their family. We want to lift up Grace Kimberling. She is back at the North Kansas City Hospital, again, having these difficulties with falls and some heart concerns. Our sympathies extended to Mike and Leanne Zuber with the loss of Mike's father, John, on the 25th of July. They were both here at the early service today. We lift up Doris O'Neill as she's having some monitoring done for her heart. We lift up Bob Maddox with an aorta concern. We want to lift up Larry Ford, brother of Juanita Feltz. We lift up Rihanna Ralston. She's got some tumors that are going to have to be removed by surgery this week. And still, again, questions about the possibility of heart valve replacement for her. We lift up Susan Cox's stepson, Tim Parvin. And we remember Michelle Jacobo and her family and certainly others that we've been remembering day after day. May we be in the spirit of prayer as we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we express our gratitude for the privilege to offer you praise this Lord's Day morning. For your abundant grace and mercy, we offer our thanks through our prayers, our singing of sacred songs, and with the meditations of our hearts. As we explore the lives of Naomi and Ruth this morning, we are inspired by their steadfast devotion to you as the one and only true God. We are in awe at their unwavering faith in you, despite the dire circumstances and utter poverty they endured with the loss of the men in their lives. From Naomi and Ruth, may we also, O God, learn to possess such an equal measure of tireless commitment to you and realize that despite the challenging circumstances that may be a part of our life's pathway, we are ultimately redeemed even unto the great blessing of your eternal presence. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in the book of Colossians, may we be made strong with all the strength which comes from your glorious power, so that we may be able to endure everything with patience. And with joy, may we give thanks to you, who have made us fit to have our share of what you have reserved for your people in the kingdom of light. For you have rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into your kingdom by your own dear Son, through whom we are set free. For this great truth, we offer this prayer in thanksgiving, as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Carrie, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Scripture is Ruth 1, 6 through 18, and you'll find it on the Pew Bibles, page 238. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab. For she had heard that in the country of Moab, that the Lord had had consideration for his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead, and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will not return. Excuse me, we will return with you and your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, that you may then wait until they are grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. It has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts you from me." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I didn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Thank you, Andrew. If you haven't already made your way to your local Hy-Vee to acquire your very own box of Mahomes Magic Crunch, chances are rather slim that you'll be able to acquire a box this afternoon. In fact, on eBay yesterday morning, there were only 9 boxes still available, while 11 from that same lot had already sold at $25 a box. And dozens of other boxes were also gone. Some fans have even opened up and eaten from their box of Mahomes Magic Crunch. Apparently it tastes like a lesser version of Frosted Flakes. But I imagine opening up their box has lessened its prospective value. Isn't it interesting to note how the name and face of a prominent person like Patrick Mahomes can cause a mild case of hysteria among so many average folks across the region, maybe even the country. Yet, as we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday morning, Philippians chapter 2 reminds us that Christ, of his own free will, gave up all that he had in the heavenly realm and took on the nature of a servant. He walked the path of obedience all the way to his death on the cross, so that we may be blessed with the gift of life everlasting. And as verse 9 tells us, for this reason God raised him up to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, even though Jesus doesn't have his face on a Breakfast of Champions cereal box, we share this morning in the bread and the cup of his table and give thanks for Christ's great love for us and for God's great gift of life eternal. For Christ really is all the magic that we truly need. Our communion hymn this morning is number 556. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3 of Trust and Obey.
Walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delight of His love until on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to His disciples, and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in memory of Me.' In the same way, after the supper, He took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with My blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of Me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again." May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we are very excited, we're very grateful, and we're very blessed this morning to be in Your house. As we gather around this table, let us partake of the cup and the bread, symbolizing Your death and resurrection for our salvation to come. And yes, we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
We don't know what the attributes about Naomi were that compelled Ruth to say to her, "No, I want to go with you. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." And yet, even as Ruth made that commitment, she had no guarantee of any kind of good prospects when she made that journey from Moab to the land of Israel. Yet she did so. She made that commitment in faith and love. So also, as we offer up a portion of our resources for the work of God's kingdom here on earth, we have no real guarantee of what the prospects are going to be, of the outcome of our circumstances, but we make our pledge of commitment through our tithes and offerings out of our genuine love for God and what He has done for us. With these thoughts in mind, we receive a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to give back a portion of what you have so greatly blessed us with. And we're reminded that your word says you love a cheerful giver. And let us come with joyful hearts to bring these offerings to be used to benefit your work here on earth. Please bless the gifts and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we have a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we are indeed grateful for the many stories in Scripture of women who inspire us to be faithful in our endeavors to always abide in your will, knowing that you desire the very best for all of your children. So in the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. We have all heard the expression, desperate times call for desperate measures. And that expression seemed to certainly hold true for this time period in what was called the time of the judges, because in the land of Palestine, there was obviously a very significant drought going on, and probably most likely especially in that southern portion of Palestine that we call Judah, you know, around where Jerusalem is and further south. That is a much more arid part of that country, and as a consequence, it's much more susceptible to drought. Drought was, of course, lingering on, and as a consequence, people were beginning to have very difficult time making a living off the land. So Ruth chapter 1 leads us into that story, where long ago, in the days before Israel has a king, there was a famine in the land. So a man named Elimelech, who belonged to the clan of Ephrath, and who lived in Bethlehem in Judah, went with his wife Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, to live for a while in the country of Moab. Now again, the drought and subsequent famine was indeed significant enough that many Israelites were now moving out and going to places like Moab and Ammon. Now, Moab and Ammon had been settled by the descendants of Lot, born from the daughters' incestuous relationships with their father. That's recorded in Genesis chapter 19. Of course, the establishment of those two groups of people in that way was considered certainly a very sinful thing in the eyes of the Israelite people. And so even though they were related in the fact that, you remember, Lot was Abraham's nephew, the Israelites really didn't want to have anything to do with the Moabites or the Ammonites. But yet, here they are now moving, some of them, into that country, which was on the eastern side of the Dead Sea, struggling to make a living. Nestled like a green emerald surrounded by desert lands in that southeastern side of the Dead Sea, Moab was a small but very lush valley that was capable of sustaining life even during times of drought. Now, if things couldn't be bad enough already in the fact that here you see this Israelite family and certainly many others having to move out of their homeland, the scriptures in Ruth chapter 1, verse 2 and continuing say, while they were living there, Elimelech died, and Naomi was left alone with her two sons, who married Moabite girls, Orpah and Ruth. And then, about 10 years later, Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the text says that Naomi was left alone without husband or sons. Now, in those few short sentences, what you have to understand is that Naomi and her daughters-in-law were falling into a life of profound destitution because they had no land, no resources, and now they had no men in the family to be the breadwinners. This was a life at the bottom rung of society, a life of poverty. Yet what is rather interesting is that in spite of her circumstances, and in spite of the fact that Naomi, in her time period, certainly would have held on to the Hebrew belief of the era that whatever happened to you happened because God caused it, she was living under an incredible burden about, oh my gosh, look, here you know we've left our homeland, my sons have married foreign women, oh my gosh, God's just really casting down upon me all of this terrible circumstance because of our sin. Now imagine having to live with that. You know, but that was a very common belief in this time period. Yet despite all of that, what's rather striking is that Naomi does not give up on the God of her Hebrew tradition. Nor do we see her becoming angry at God. She's certainly frustrated with her circumstances, but she's not necessarily giving up on God, nor is she actually joining in to the pagan Moabite traditions. Instead, they just hang in there, and as time goes on, what happens is that finally word comes to Moab that the drought and the famine had lifted in Palestine. Now, if you've ever lived in arid places, you know, like I have, like West Texas, my gosh, when I left West Texas, our reservoir was at 18% capacity. Ah, Oh my gosh, I thought this, you know, when, you ask, when does this end? Well, now it's full up again. You know, it's the way it is, the way the weather patterns change. But, you know, when you're in the throes of drought, you just never know, well, when's it going to stop? And it can get pretty bad. Well, it got pretty bad in Judah. But finally it all lifted. And the crops could grow again. And the text tells us here with Ruth chapter 1, verse 6 and continuing, Naomi heard that the Lord had blessed his people by giving them good crops. And so they got ready to leave Moab with her daughters-in-law. And they started out together to go back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi says to them, go back and stay with your mothers. May the Lord be as good to you as you've been to me and to those who have died. And may the Lord make it possible for each of you to marry again and have a home. Now, these two women were likely in about their mid-20s at this point. Because you have to understand, in this time in the Bible times, most women married in their teens, mid-teens. And remember, they'd been married about 10 years when both of the sons had died. Oh, terrible circumstances. Naomi, you know, she doesn't have a lot to offer. So as they're making their way back, she says, oh, why don't y'all just go back? Surely, if you go back to your homes of origin, maybe things will be better for you there. Now, they weren't great prospects, believe me, even at that. But go back. What we have to do to appreciate, however, is that Naomi must have been a very compassionate, kind-hearted woman. Because, again, there was obviously this bond between her two daughters-in-law and her. Because the text tells us that both women were led to tears when Naomi stopped the procession, if you will, and said, why don't you all go back home? And of course, you know how the story goes. Oprah does go back. She goes back home. After she gives her mother-in-law a big hug, she heads back. However, Ruth will have none of this, will she? We have the famous text here of Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Don't ask me to leave you. Let me go with you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and that is where I will be buried. May the Lord's worst punishment come upon me if I let anything but death separate me from you. That is an incredible level of devotion to a mother-in-law who has absolutely nothing to offer her. Except what? This bond. That's an incredible bond, is it not? But what is striking is that Ruth, much like Rahab in Jericho, was willing to cast her lot with the foreign god of the Hebrew people. Was she not? And Rahab, you remember, we spoke about Rahab before I left on vacation. Rahab had nothing but the stories of the Hebrew people as they had come up toward the Promised Land. Yet she was willing to believe those stories, and she did what she could to save the lives of the spies, and as a consequence, she was saved. Right? Here, Ruth has nothing to go on except what she knows about this Hebrew God through her mother-in-law, and certainly, of course, beforehand, the father-in-law and her own husband and the brother-in-law. But whatever all of that was that she gleaned from knowing those people, she was willing to cast her lot with the God of the Hebrew people. Isn't it really interesting that the vast majority of us, we make a connection with God by the people that we know in our lives. The godly people in our lives are the ones who inspire us to want to be godly also, right? And that's what we see happening here in the story between Naomi and Ruth. Well, they get settled back among the folks in Bethlehem. Ruth, however, found herself in the nearby fields, walking behind the harvesters, gathering the grain that was left over. You have to understand that in this time period, Deliberately leaving the grain and fruits during harvest was required by Hebrew law from the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy. Long before the Hebrew people ever made it into the Promised Land, these guidelines were set up for the Hebrew people while they were still in the wilderness experience. The book of Leviticus chapter 19 says, "When you harvest your fields, do not cut the grain at the edges of the fields, and do not go back and cut the heads of the grain that were left. Do not go back through your vineyards to gather the grapes that were missed, or to pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the people who are poor." In other words, this was the way to make provision for those who were in the poverty section of society. You were generous by what you left in the time of harvest so that these people could follow the gatherers and harvesters and have something to sustain them. Now, what is rather remarkable is that when Ruth said, "No, your people will be my people and your God will be my God," Ruth knew this was about all she was going to have available for her when she went into the land of Palestine with Naomi. Don't you think most young women would have said, yeah, I'm going back to my own family. But not Ruth. And yet, what is significant about the scriptures is that God's providence prevails and God assures Ruth and Naomi a bright future because of what? Because of their faithfulness. You know how the story goes. It so happened, the text tells us, that Ruth was gathering up the grain in the field behind the harvesters in the field that belonged to Boaz. She didn't know that ahead of time, folks. She had no idea that was Boaz's field. It wasn't marked. Fields aren't even marked today, are they? I've been in many farming families, and the only way we knew which piece of ground we were driving by belonged to who was when people told us. Otherwise, you never knew, right? Certainly was the case here, too. God saw to it that by providence that Ruth would be where she needed to be so that Boaz could recognize her. And, of course, Boaz had great sympathy for Ruth once he found out from his workers who she was. Oh, yeah, well, she's the daughter-in-law of Naomi, remember? Have you heard that she came back after her husband and sons died back in Moab? You know, remember when they left because of the famine? Oh, yeah, well, she's back, and her daughter-in-law came back to help her out. Huh. Well, Boaz said, "Hey, workers, you make sure you take care of her. You watch over her. You watch over her safety. And by the way, make sure that she's able to eat at the mealtime with you out here in the fields." You ever been in farm families, farm communities? What do? When you have lunch out in the fields? You don't go home. You have lunch in the fields when you have harvest going on, right? That sort of thing. And so Ruth is cared for in a remarkable way. But what you may not know is who was Boaz? He was from the descendancy of a woman in Jericho named Rahab who saved the two spies. And as a consequence of what she was willing to do to cast her lot with the God of the Hebrew people, Joshua and God saved Rahab and her whole family, and they became a part of the heritage of the Hebrew people. Boaz was a descendant of Rahab. He would have known that story, and as a consequence of that story, he would have had great sympathy for someone who was coming from a foreign land and wanting to be a part of the Hebrew tradition. And as time goes on, we know that Boaz becomes what is called in the Hebrew tradition the kinsman redeemer. He buys up the property that used to belong to Elimelech and Naomi. And of course, he marries Ruth. And then, of course, that seals a great future for Naomi and for Ruth. In addition, we know that Ruth becomes the great-grandmother of King David, through whom the succession of lineage brings us Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. So you see, the story of redemption carries itself forward from generation to generation to generation, even among women who were first and foremost from a foreign land, in the case of Rahab and also Ruth. Yet salvation is for one and all. And so the truth of the matter that the story has for you and me is, just as Naomi and Ruth were faithful to God, not knowing what would be the end of their circumstances, so also, even when we don't know what are going to be the results of our circumstances, may we always remain faithful to the God of gods, because in doing so, we know that in Christ Jesus, we are indeed ultimately what? Redeemed and given the privilege to be a part of God's eternal kingdom. Do you know Christ? If you don't know him, maybe today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation, 346, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. 346, all stanzas, please.
Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling, take my cross and follow me. I'll go with him through the judgment, I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory, and go with me, all the way.
A reminder that we do have the a potluck lunch immediately after the service in the fellowship hall directly below the sanctuary. Hope you can stay and join us. Again, it's by a donation to help out with the weekend food for children in the schools here in our community. And again, remember, have board meeting immediately after the lunch, and that'll be in the upper room. God bless you, and may you have a wonderful week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us, and for this we give thanks. We know that in our faithfulness to you, you always are by our side and walking with us day by day, assuring us of indeed the gift of life eternal. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky.
I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.